Okay, yesterday, before I was interrupted, I was about to say something.
Do you remember?
And I don't remember what it was. So what's the last thing in the notes?
And for your next trip, you will do.
I did not catch it.
This is still here, Ben's pencil sure.
I came in and pencils were all over. Acts 2, 41 and 46, we were talking about...
I know we were talking about that, but there was something after that. You don't remember?
No, I don't.
Right before you and Sue about that into it.
Yep. The thought in my mind, when you're talking about tasting things, was... taste is one of those relative things. It can be good or it can be bad. Things can taste good, things can taste bad. And this is the time when we're, isn't this the time for the 49 gates? Isn't that time?
Right.
And one of the things that we're supposed to consider during that time is repenting of good and bad, bad and good.
Right. The cross took care of the bad. There goes my notes. The cross took care of the bad, and accounting the Omer takes care of what you think is good.
You know?
I need paper towels. Two of them, please. So in the counting of the Omer, which we've never done correctly, we just talked about it.
Anything else correct?
Each of the 49 gates of impurity that you come out of between the Feast of Passover and the Feast of Pentecost are some aspect of life that you believe is good and proper and the right thing to be and think and do. Now, it's my opinion that more than likely the last gate to come out of is what Jesus said, that no man cometh to me unless he hate his mother, his father, his sister, his brother, his wife and children, and his own life also. Now, that gate is unbelievably difficult to go through for all the reasons of being human. But going backwards from that gate, which I think is the 49th gate, and the 48th, and 47th, and 46th, and all the way up, every one of them is the cost of discipleship.
There aren't 49 themes, are there? There's not a...
Well, there are themes in terms of no one's 49 gates are the same.
Okay.
Exactly. But there are conceptual gates in terms of family, your own life,
where does
political opinions. Huh?
Our idolatry, then, is almost...
The idolatry has to be, by definition, something that you think is good.
Yeah, so it would be the coming out of idolatry would be the important.
Yeah, but I know, but you can't use the word idolatry there, because no one that thinks that the thing that they're talking about, that it is good, ever would think it's idolatry.
It has more to do with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Amen. That's all. It has everything to do with it. But the cross took care of the evil. Counting the Omer takes care of the good. So that you can really be in faith alone and nothing else. It takes care of all stands, Tom. All opinions, Tom.
The Feast of Lavar Omer is at the 40th day.
Right.
Why does it divide the counting of the homer in two shots.
It doesn't, but I believe I can only tell you I have an opinion about it, but the counting of the homer is, the log ball mare, that weird feast, it's not really a feast, but it's sort of a feast that's celebrated, was the ascension of Christ. And then it was 10 days before, and he instructed the disciples to remain in Jerusalem until that Lag Baromer, and then they had to go to the temple for cleansing. But if you understood... What?
I understand why he was resurrected on that day.
Not resurrected, ascended.
Ascended on that day for the cleansing, but I was just wondering if there's any...
Well, I think that it... Yeah, I think what it is, and I can't teach on it because it's not made flesh in me yet, but it has to do with what 1 John 5 calls the waters, and it's all of the arenas where the waters will be cleansed by the waters. Remember, we've talked many times about all of the activities that have to go on outside the temple. Before you even get to the trespass and sin offering, there are all of the waters of cleansing, that touching a dead body or committing adultery or leprosy and all the others. That the reason I haven't taught on the specificity of those is because they haven't been made flesh in me, and this is the only way I can say it.
Okay.
I can give you philosophy, but I'm not very interested in doing that. Now you're doing it, Gary.
Well, this whole John brought up when he spoke initially about tasting. Like tasting is a parable, because
amen, that's what I said.
We're agreeing. And it's almost like I was thinking of it in terms of not having a body, a physical body, and entertaining tasting. It's like it's a different. Seems to enhance the parable.
Why would you think that? Why would your mind go to not having a physical body?
Because tasting is, you don't taste with your physical body.
Oh, yes, you do.
Tasting in terms of experiencing and throwing yourself into life.
You still have to taste.
You have done with your tongue.
Yeah, but it's done with your tongue spiritually. It can't be. You have
right.
to.
Spiritually. That's the key phrase. So I
understand that, but you couldn't understand the physicality of it is an integral part. It can't be separated. If you separate it in terms of just saying it's spiritual, then you will never experience it.
The point of my comment is not that I say it. Walk around ethereally, but there's a little deeper in my experience understanding of thinking of it without a body and tasting. That there's no limitations placed on you by your physicality, and spiritually you can reach out somehow. It's a California thing.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that. All right, we're going to talk about death. One of the most interesting issues about death is in Revelation 13, in a couple of verses. So let's go there, because this is about the evil one.
Thank you.
we're really studying Revelation 13:3 and 12, but we're going to read the chapter. And I stood upon the sand of this. Well, before we do that, let's look at the you can't, even though the book of Revelation doesn't have anything to do with time, the way it's placed and recorded in in the order that it does, because there's an apprehension of it, but you won't apprehend. In other words, you won't apprehend unless you understand the message of God to the churches. You'll never understand the next part. And if you don't understand that, you won't understand the next part. In other words, it's a building of your understanding, as opposed to anything taking place in time. It can take place instantly, and you understand the whole book. But that doesn't happen very often. Okay? So Revelation 13 has to be predicated by what you've seen in Revelation 12. And Revelation 12 is about the woman with the crown of the 12 stars and, you know, and the battle that's going on in heaven. Well, that's all about the constellation Virgo and the birth of the child. But start in verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was there place any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Now, nothing else in Revelation can be understood until you understand that little simple couple verses. And then when that understanding happens, then you join this. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now, what happens internally in you is the accuser has no more power. So, the accuser, for 99% of the time, the accuser has something to do with you.
Yeah.
And because the accuser has had something to do with you, then in order for you to retain righteousness, then you must judge somebody else down. So these are interrelated. Do you understand that? So now the accuser has been cast down, has no more, he's cast down because you ignore him. He's meaningless. And the accuser has a jillion different forms. One of them is trying to understand without repentance. And so he causes your mind to struggle, to try to understand. And you'll never get there from there. So because the accuser has not been cast down in you. Do you understand what I'm saying? I pray you do. If you do, you'll never again try to use your mind to apprehend anything. It'll only be by repentance. What? You're yaking your head, yes, but instantly you're saying, I don't know about that.
Well, I'm still kind of playing with the out-of-body stuff.
Can we leave that behind?
No, I think it's integral to everything we're talking about. I mean, John saw this He didn't know if he was in his body or out of his body. Time is not a physical place. And I think to just try and ignore it as something that's too abstract to talk about is not how I'm hearing it.
All right, all I'm saying, Gary, then if that works for your understanding, then go with it. But I don't want it to be the predicate for other people's understanding. Okay?
That's fine with me.
All right. All right. Now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, hallelujah, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Now, the word of their testimony is not what the modern testimony is. The word of your testimony is by your life and actions and the way you live. Your testimony is your death. You remember the word testimony is from martyr.
Yeah.
What's going on? So again, your death is the predicate for everything from now on. What? Tom?
I'm still trying to absorb the idea that you can repent without having a clue of what it is you're repenting of, because you can't make out what it means. I mean, I've always been stuck on the problem that the only thing that makes it possible for me to say words right now is sitting between my ears, and yet it's the evil one. This doesn't make enough sense to me to figure out, you know, what I'm supposed to do with it.
Well, the issue then is in the specifics. There's a jillion specifics, and you'll see yourself doing something, and somehow it's the evidence that you don't believe on him. And it has a specific about work or family or something, or judgment or unforgiveness or something. But take the whole issue of what repentance means. And repentance literally means the same as the mind of Christ. That there is, you have seen through time and space and every one and every bit of your experience and every bit of your empathy, any capacity you have for empathy, you've seen that there is nothing good about this thing. And so then you repent of paying any attention to anything that has to do with the flesh. And so it is the repentance not to be repented of. It has nothing to do with specifics any longer. It has nothing to do with naming something. It's the repentance of the mind of Christ. It has no more need for specificity because you've repented of the whole issue of the mind and the emotions.
Yeah, that's not difficult for me to understand. What I guess is difficult is that, you know, we've said before that the Bible isn't meant to be sat down and just read. You get in a group of people and you fight about it. But that requires this thing that I think I'm doing.
I'm not saying that it's not required. You asked this. You said you were having difficulty.
Yeah, that's my difficulty.
Okay.
I mean, that is it. It remains my difficulty.
Okay, that's fine. And as long as it remains your difficulty, then that's what you have to talk about.
Okay, cool.
And again, it's the same thing with all of the issues of time that we've had over the years. As long as that's an issue, you have to talk about it. You can't just say, oh, Oli said this, so I shouldn't think that.
Actually, I have an easier time with time than almost anything else. So.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm not just talking about Gary, I'm talking about the whole, everybody.
Got it, okay.
Gary happens to be the point man for it.
Lucky Gary.
Yeah, well, what you're talking about is you're judging something evil here that you do, or you think it's being judged evil.
Well, don't think about it, you know. Don't
okay, again, let's, yeah, here's the operative phrase. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they and the word of their testimony is they love not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. And woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the child, the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Now, all that sounds as you have pictures of and stuff, but it simply means as a believer, as a part of this woman, you are protected for the 3.5 years, the 42 months, the time from which you have believed in him to where you live by the faith of him, the time in which you understand that the cross had something to do with something, until the time you see it's your total and complete death. And so you're protected during that time. Now the 42 months can be a second, or it can be 20 years, or 30, or 50. Do you understand?
Yep. I got a clear beat on that one.
All right.
That makes good sense.
Well, and then the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, the only instrument that he has to make war with the saints now is you, your mind.
And water, there's people.
Right.
All people. People that...
that make fun of it, that to think you're crazy, that all the other stuff.
Well, I mean, it's,
but the earth then swallows up the water.
It's like every bit of flesh that hasn't realized it's dead is part of that flood.
Amen. Okay, so that's all the predicate for what we're about to read. That was Romans 13, redeemial. All right. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. This is the same beast we saw in the woman. Right? Because it's the woman is sitting. The woman is the one that's controlling the beast, remember? And who is that beast? Well, John saw it was himself. It was all men. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat of great authority. And then I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. You can come on in.
Come and have a seat.
Have a seat. Just get a cup of coffee and have a seat. And all the world wondered after the beast. Now, the word where it says that he was wounded to death and his deadly head wound was healed. The death there is the stroke of death, and the stroke of death of the evil one, of Satan, was the cross. He defeated Satan at the cross. So his only power now comes from the human mind.
I understand how dangerous it is to be stuck with a concept. The only thing I have to think with is the thing that's terribly cursed. And I understand how easy it is to go from I'm just thinking about it to I found a place to stand. I do understand that much.
Okay, well, that's a good start. But the point of this, the beast was wounded to death by Christ's death on the cross. But his deadly head wound was healed. Now, the deadly head wound was the mind of all men from then on. Really, all men from all of history. Since the beast was given life, then again, unless you believe in talking snakes, the snake was the mind of Adam and Eve. He was given life by Adam and Eve, and that produced the death in the human race. So the human race is born dead. That's why you are called mortal. Mortal means dead. Got it? What? Okay. The point that I'm getting to, and all the world wandered after the beast that was risen from the dead, from the deadly head wound. No. The only thing that all the world, all of time, all of space has wandered after was their mind. That's the only common denominator that all the world has ever wondered after was the human mind, their own mind. Man, I used to think I was the smartest guy in history. And it was just crap. I was living in an illusion. I was living in a video game.
It was sweet, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was boring. It got to be boring. And for me, boredom is worse than anything. That's when I really get in trouble.
This part, he's wounded to death, but then his wound heals, and then he can have...
One of his heads. Just one.
One of his heads. But that's the one that was healed.
All of them was, yeah, that one head wound was healed.
So what are the other heads?
That'll take us forever. Wait until we get into Revelation per se.
That head wound. Then even though it was death, it came back to life.
It came back to life because we gave him life. We breathe life into him.
So we, in our Adamic nature, have that power.
Right. We believe life as long as you give importance to self. And that starts at 18 months approximately. Then you breathe life. You're the one that's given the evil one life.
So we are, in effect, God in that scenario. And that's where 2 Thessalonians...
Right. We are the one that has set ourselves up in the temple of God, showing ourselves that we're God. We show ourselves because we judge good and evil for ourselves. And we give life to self. But the point of it is, you don't even, you have invented every aspect of yourself. You have created yourself. And you've taken a little bit here and a little bit there, and you take that and then a little bit more of that and a little bit of that, and you've created a being. But that being that you've created is really the evil one who has been masquerading as you your whole life. You have never existed except as an instrument of the evil one. Huh?
Which is you.
What?
That's,
yeah. No, you're an instrument of the, I'm talking about the real big, the big guy.
The bigger he was.
That's why Jesus called the disciples that believed on his name sons of Satan. Well, no, they accepted Jesus as their personal Savior.
I mean,
they were willing to follow him.
The ones that stuck with him, named the 12.
The 12.
They were also sons of the snake.
Right, because they didn't defend him at the cross. The human race died at the cross.
You know, it was a while ago, but you said mortal and immortal, and immortal just means not mortal.
No, immortal means without death.
Well, but what I'm getting at is that we define everything in terms of where we sit, which is mortal, which is
right.
The wrong way to define it.
Right. You can't, as long as you're looking from the bottom up, you can never see. But death is thanatos. Immortality is athanas, athanasia, which means without death. He alone has immortality. But it's the mystery of Pentecost is that his life was shed on all flesh. He is the life. He is the real you. But his humility is so great. As long as you keep control, he will not be shown. Because of his humility.
Adam and Eve may well have been immortal before eating up.
Right. They would have been transformed. The whole purpose is to show the mystery of the bride in Adam and Eve. They were born innocent, without self-awareness. And they would have been transformed into holiness by antagonism, the same as we are through. Amen. Did I get anything that grabbed you that time?
Mm-hmm.
What?
What? I mean, it's a concept. It's not a particular thing.
I'm busting you. All right. Everybody understand perfectly?
Perfectly.
This is why this mystery of the Trinity is so important. It's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But you put you into it, you make it unholy. But yet that's what the modern church is teaching. We'll spend some more time on death. Thanatos. All right. Anybody? Any thoughts? Any response? Gary, you're always doing it.
Yeah, but I'm abandoning it right now.
All right, take it, big guy.